So we have the story of Jonah today. And I can imagine God looking and thinking of Jonah and saying, Jonah, 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 what am I going to do with you? We know Jonah is a very interesting character in the scriptures, just a short book, four chapters. And we know that Jonah gets called by God to go to a city called Nineveh and tell the people of Nineveh that God is going to destroy them if they don't repent or turn around and start to do what God expects them to do. So does Jonah want to do this? Absolutely not. Why not? Because people of Nineveh are his enemies. So what does Jonah do? He decides that he's going to get as far away from God as he can. So he gets on a boat and heads for a city or a land called Tarshish. And hard for Sunday school kids to say, but Tarshish if you work on it. My sister and brother-in-law work for United Airlines, and years ago they could get tickets for almost nothing. I think they paid the tax on the tickets anywhere in the world, anywhere that United Airlines flew. So one year they decided that they were going to fly. They lived in Seattle, decided they were going to fly as far away from Seattle as they could get without coming back around the other side, you know. So they went to Sri Lanka. Well, this is sort of what Jonah had in mind, that he was going to get as far away from this assignment that he was given as he could. And Tarshish was sort of, I guess scholars think it was somewhere out towards Spain. It was, you would fall off the earth if you went any farther than Tarshish. So that's where he decided to go. So he got on the boat, and you know the story, got on the boat, and he... with the other sailors, and they were headed in the right direction, and a storm came up, and they all looked at each other and said, somebody's got a god that's mad at them and that's causing this storm. And all the eyes looked at Jonah. So they figured, well, if they got rid of Jonah, then the sea would calm down, the storm would be over, and they'd be fine. So they threw Jonah overboard, and he gets swallowed up by a fish. Well, he was in the fish for a while, and then the fish burped him up on the shore where he started. And this is where our lesson begins. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, right? He's already gotten it once, and that's when he took off. He came to the Lord a second time saying, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim it to it the message I will tell you. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. This is the message that God has given him. He says, tell them that you got 40 days to shape up, or they're going to be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So how do you think Jonah felt about this? Pretty rotten, really, because this is not what he expected. He wanted them to be punished, but they were able to dodge a bullet. So what is the lesson in Jonah then? There are a lot of lessons. There's several lessons in Jonah. One of them is you can't run away from God like he tried to do. We try it too. It doesn't work very well because God is everywhere. Another lesson could be that you better do what God tells you to do the first time, because you're probably going to get the message again. Another lesson could be, you can't please some people ever. Nineveh was saved, and Jonah was still mad. Some people you just can't please. And another lesson could be that any person or nation Even the most evil can be redeemed by God if they are willing and take the action to repent, to change. Let me submit one other lesson, I think, from Jonah's story. You know what? The Nike swoosh, you know, the little thing that they call it a swoosh, and their current slogan is "Just do it," which is sort of what God was saying to Jonah, right? Just after all of this sailing off, you know, and getting in the storm and eating, being in the fish, and the fish vomits him up on the earth, and God says, "Just do it." In this second message, just go and do what I told you to do the first time. So God gives Jonah another chance, a second chance, to just go and do it. And so Jonah does. Simple, right? All we got to do is get the message a second time, and we just go and do it. Oh, if life were that easy, and it were that easy to do the things that we don't want to do. And Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh and give them the message so they would be saved. In AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, there is an expression that they use, and the expression is "act as if." Act as if. And it's probably used in other therapies and other support groups for addictions. Act as if, or they also say, fake it until you make it. Fake it until you make it. So in a way, God was telling Jonah to act as if. Act as if you really cared for these people in Nineveh. Act as if you cared for this city, that you cared for their redemption, their salvation. You cared that they were not destroyed. Just act as if you believe that. And act as if you feel good about that. We're called to do act as if, too. Parents do it all the time. Have you ever been so mad at your children, but then you love them up anyway? Right? And underneath that, you're absolutely furious, but you love them up because you're doing something for the greater good. That's what Jonah was doing, right? God asked him to act as if he felt good about what he was doing for the greater good, and the greater good was the salvation of this whole huge city, that it wouldn't be destroyed. So we do that too. We act as if, and we do that as parents. We do that as with our friends sometimes. We have to go against our instincts and our prejudices and just act as if we feel good about what we're doing and what we're called, what we're asked to do. We have to act as if when our values and our habits and our preferences are challenged by change. Challenged by change. That's such an important and an inevitable thing in life, and that is we're always challenged by change. In my going up to the choir, I've had people say, "We don't want our pastor singing in the choir." Well, I haven't seen a church choir yet that wouldn't take just about every voice that became available to them. But I have sung in the choir in every church I've served, so too bad I'm going to sing in the choir. Often, acceptance of new things, new ideas, new values, new policies, take time. They take time for us to get used to them. And the older we get, it seems, the more time it takes to get used to things. More often than not, these changes are beyond our control. The world changes beyond our control. There's nothing we can do about it. And after all, besides the love of God, the only thing we can be absolutely sure of is that things will change. Some of these changes make us uncomfortable. And when they do, we have two choices. We can fight them. We can resist them. We can refuse them. We can reject them. We can deny them. Or we can act as if. We can fake it until we make it. Fighting is inevitable. Change is exhausting. I've been fighting technology for years. I don't know about you. And it's wearing me down because every day there's some new technology that I have to fight, and so the technology over here is getting bigger, and I'm not getting any better at trying to figure it out. So fighting wears us out. Jonah fought back. Look where it got him. Ended up thrown in the ocean and in the belly of a fish. Imagine what that must have been like. Fighting back is usually futile, especially when the change is has momentum. Now, think about the change in technology in your lives. Talk about momentum. Most of us, even if we're caught up with it, we're still behind. Now, not all change is good, but it comes anyway. I'm not suggesting that we accept every new idea or policy, because in many respects, what we think is new really isn't very new at all. It's just something that has come around again, sort of like the widths of men's ties. You know, I was looking at ties, and I think, oh, no, how wide are they today? You know, remember when they were thin, and then they were big, and that's how sometimes things change. As we say, the more they stay the same. Other ideas, like marriage equality for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered people, are radically new. Some of the changes in this world are radically new, even though love between two people certainly isn't. Radical new ideas really test us. They test this ability in us to act as if. When I was about 19 years old, no, when I was 17 years old, I discovered, along with my family, that my younger sister, 2 years younger, was lesbian. Now, think about that. That was quite a while ago. That was in the mid-60s. I grieved for a while. I thought, gee, we're not going to have children together. You know, we're not going to have spouses together and get married. And so I grieved for that. And I questioned it, too. But I had to act as if everything was fine. I had to act as if my sister being a lesbian didn't bother me, but it did for a long time, but not forever. And even more so for my parents. In time, our family realized that Lori had to be herself. And that's all we wanted for her to be anyway. Our understanding of her sexuality, which none of us really get unless we share that sexuality, is not the point. The understanding is not the point. The love is the point. The love for her was what we only wanted anyway. So acting as if is not a denial of our feelings. It gives us the opportunity to get used to new ideas, to learn of their value and worth, and to grow in our understanding of the changing world around us, most of which we can do nothing about. I am aware that being an open and affirming congregation is not always easy, and it's not always easy to live out that declaration in the community. For some of us, it requires an act-as-if effort, a time to more fully understand that God calls us to love people for who they are, not for who we think they should be. There are enough walls in the world already that separate people, the walls of politics and race and religion and color and economics and language. Let us who honor and worship a God of extravagant welcome not be among those who build walls out of fear and hatred. Let us instead be a beacon of light and hope for those who have not been welcomed into a loving family of faith like ours. That is the calling of the United Church of Christ. That is the calling of Church of the Palms. That is your calling and my calling. And it is Jesus Christ who calls us. Pray that we not run off like Jonah did, but that we lift that light up high for all to see. Amen.